Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Where normal becomes paranormal. Here is your host, Rebecca.
Good evening, this is Rebecca, and I'm your host today on the Paranormal Fringe. Also tonight with us, we have Sherilyn Carter, who is our EVP specialist. What we're going to be doing is playing some of her EVPs, and we'll be talking about them. Feel free to call in if you have any questions about any of these EVPs or to discuss an EVP with her. We also have in the studio tonight my host, Ryan Nemec. He's going to be helping us with questions for Cheryl, talking about the EVPs, and just having a really good time. So I'd like to go ahead now and introduce Cheryl to you, and we'll go ahead and get started. Hi, Cheryl. Great. How are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. I'm so excited you're on our show. I heard you have some big news to start off with here. Cheryl is a friend of mine, by the way, and we just found out this week that she had a pretty exciting thing happen. You want to go ahead and talk about that for a second, and then we'll get started on your EVP.
Yes, I just was asked to join a fantastic team called 313 Paranormal, and we just
Woo-hoo!
Had our radio show right before this, Deeper Than the Grave.
Plug. Not a problem. They're real good friends of mine, so plug away. Okay, and Ryan, go ahead and say hello and introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners so they can get to know you a little bit.
I became friends with Rebecca and Dan. And they turned me on to paranormal experiences and asked me to join the team, and I'm honored.
And you kind of have a radio experience too, don't you?
Yeah, I did 10 years here in Detroit radio, so this is the first time I'm cracking a mic in quite a while, so it's a little butterflies.
Yeah, you'd be fine. All right, like I said, we're going to listen to some EVPs from Cheryl this evening. Kind of going to tell you what the EVP name is. I'm going to make a guess. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and start playing the first one here, see if you can figure out what it is, and then we're going to have Cheryl kind of tell us what it is, where she got it, and what the connection is, you know, what kind of history she had on the place that she went to. We'll kind of do that with each one, and if we get any callers, again, we will answer any questions. I'm going to go ahead and start with this first EVP here, and then I'm going to have Cheryl kind of talk about it and tell us the history behind this EVP, where she got it, and what she thinks is going on. Okay, I don't know if you guys could hear that, but I'll play it one more time.
Ooh. Is that the Willis one that you played? That's not coming over very well.
Yeah, they're not coming through very well. That one is Move It Back.
Hmm.
Now, this sounds like a male voice to me. Is that, where did you get that one, and where were you at the time that you got the EVP?
I was at the Willis Inn, which used to be an old asylum, and now they're turning into a bed and breakfast. And it was right after we had got done investigating that night, and we're all sitting around in the kitchen area. They have just a little area where you can all go hang around at the inn. And we're just laughing and joking around and stuff, and I just happened to have my recorder going as we're screwing around there. And the lady there says, well, we got the downstairs pretty good. We still got to get the upstairs done. I'm not sure what we're going to do to it. And this spirit says, tile the area. they were kind of telling us how they wanted the place done.
I'll go ahead and play that one, because the one I played was Move It Back. But we'll go ahead and play that the tile one here real quick.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah, that one's kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, this is the tile it one.
Okay.
You can definitely hear him say "Pilot."
Yeah.
That sounds like a female.
Yeah,
she sounds like she's annoyed that she even had, "Pilot." What's wrong with you? Just "Pilot."
I know. It's so funny.
All right, and then the other the "Move It Back" one that I played.
I can't wait to go back.
If they
tiled
it.
Tiled it.
Now I've been in the Willis House. Is this up in the second floor that you're talking about? Where the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was still pretty much open. There was nothing there yet. She says, "Oh, we got a lot of work to do up there." Yeah,
they totally do. Okay, I'm going to play the Move It Back one more time, and then you can go ahead and talk about this one. I know this one's hard to hear because it's a kind of a gruff voice, but.
Well, he was right next to the recorder screaming, and.
Oh wow!
This was at the firehouse in Royal Oak, and
okay,
I was up there. I had a woman and her teenage son that never investigated before, and so I was walking around with them. So we sat outside this room because I knew there was some kind of strange spirit in that room, and I didn't feel that it was even from this world. So I didn't want to go in the room, but we're sitting outside, and I had the geophone sitting there and the recorder. I kind of pushed it to the middle of the room, and the guy's kind of getting bored, and I said, "Not as exciting as it is on TV, is it?" He goes, "No, I'm going downstairs." So then his mother went with him, so now I'm up there alone. I said, "Well, I guess I'll pull the recorder back a little closer to me since I'm by myself." And I started playing it back then, and all I heard was like that static, and I was going to throw it away because I go, "Why do I have static on here?" And I played it a couple times, and I go, "Where did I get this static?" Well, just then she was coming back up the stairs, and she goes, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "Well, nobody." "No, you were just talking to somebody." I said, "No, really, I'm by myself. I heard you talking to a man." And so now I held the recorder away from me, and I heard him screaming, "Put it back." He wanted me to put the recorder back.
Wow. Insistent little sucker.
But that's it. I don't know. I think he wanted the geophone back there because he was lighting up the lights. He wasn't talking on the recorder. And I think he was talking to me in Morse code. I don't know why I thought that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember Morse code, so I don't know what he was saying to me.
Geophones are really interesting pieces of equipment. I like those. When they want something, they'll let you know for sure.
He did.
The next one we're gonna, play is from the Old Mill, and I think this is one of your favorite ones. And I'm gonna play it real quick here, and I think everybody will be able to tell what this one says.
Oh, I can't hear that.
Yeah, it's I love you. It's not sounding real super great on here for some reason. They sounded good when I played them earlier, but now they don't know if the spirits are like gun shy and they don't want to be heard. But now, can you tell us a little about the Old Mill and where you got this one?
That one, I was actually down in the basement. A lot of people don't like to go down there, but I have so many people talk to me when I'm down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
It was many things. At one time, Henry Ford actually had it, and he produced some auto parts there. And there was a rumor that after that they had it was during Prohibition, and they might have had gambling and speakeasies down there in the basement. That's why I think I get where I get a lot of my EVPs. It's from the speakeasy down there.
Party time.
Yes.
So what was the "I love you"? What do you think? Who do you think that was?
It was just one of the women that I talked to down in the basement there.
Okay, because there are
she's always
children
down
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was yeah. actually one of the women that I talked to down there. I think she served drinks to the man. I see her. I just think that was her. Yeah. Yeah, there's
Ryan
also
has
a little
some
girl
experiences
there
too.
That says I love you too. She calls me mommy. She always calls me mommy when I'm done. Aww.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan had an experience in the basement there, didn't you?
That's when we had the necklace that I was wearing and we have video of it moving by Phil.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then the ghost, the spirit was Maggie up on the third floor. They've got her wedding dress up there. And
mm-hmm.
Rebecca said that she was laughing because I was wearing a woman's necklace, but she was moving it. And then as we were walking away, she goosed my butt.
I'm telling you, they had speakeasies there.
Yeah. Well, Ryan's a cutie, so I don't blame her for goosing his butt. The next one we're going to do is from Post Town. I'm just going to go ahead and play it, and then you can give us a little background on Post Town and where you got the EVP.
You like to light the flashlight up?
Aww.
Wow, it's clear.
I'll play that one more time.
You like to light the flashlight up?
Yeah. Yes, I'm special.
There's a little boy down in the basement, and he's in a hallway. I don't know why he's
mm-hmm.
stuck in this hallway. Don't know why he's stuck in this hallway. Yeah, and he was talking to us all night. He was lighting up flashlights. I got him a little toy car, but he never actually moved the car. We were actually in the lockdown there for 2 days. That was fun.
Oh, wow.
But the reason he doesn't want to move on is he's looking for his mommy and his little sister, and he doesn't know they've already moved on. Because
where was this at?
Post Town in Middleton,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay.
And before the school was even there back in 1910, there's railroad tracks right behind it. And before the school was even there on the 4th of July in 1910, there was two big trains crashed into each other. A freight train crashed into a passenger train right back there. And so the field back there, they like put the bodies out. They did a post op up there, you know, for the doctors to come. And a lot of the spirits inside Post Town are actually from this train.
Oh,
a lot
wow.
of people think it's students and teachers, but as I'm talking to them, I'm finding out a lot of them were from the train. And he's from the train. His mother and sister died in the crash, and they moved on, but I don't know why he doesn't know he's dead.
Yeah, sometimes children don't. Especially if they can't find a loved one, they tend to hang on a little bit longer. That's unusual. And again, that was a traumatic circumstance where a lot of people died and away in a short period of time, so that there are documented cases where paranormal activity is higher in places where there's tragedy. So, yeah, that definitely backs that up. Next time we're going
to
play is from...
I tried to get him to move on, but yeah, I tried to help him move on, but you can't really tell a child that they're dead the way you tell an adult.
No.
You know, it's like, I couldn't come out and say you're dead. I didn't want to scare him.
No. No, absolutely not. Yeah, I that's one thing I never do is tell the child they're dead. If they don't already know and come and tell me they're dead, I'm not gonna.
I just said I know where your mommy is. You want me to show you how to find her, but he didn't want to go.
Oh, peanut.
I tried.
All right. Yeah. You got. Well, that's all you can do is try. I mean, if they're not ready. They're not ready.
Yeah. I mean, he's happy.
The next one we have. Well, good. Happy's good.
Yeah.
The next one we have is from Waverly, and I'm not sure if you remember this one. This one didn't sound very clear, but we're going to go ahead and play it a couple times and see if people can figure out what it's saying, because it's kind of cool.
Okay. Oh, that's clear, yeah. Any guesses, Ryan?
No, I can. It's clearly male, and it's clear, but I can't. I'd have to hear it a few more
okay,
times.
I'm gonna play it.
What does it say?
Okay, I'll play it one more. I'll play it one more time for you.
Okay. I can't make it out.
Saying. Okay, I'm gonna let Cheryl
Jesus.
Explain it for you.
You say Jesus.
I'll play it one more time for you.
Just.
You hear it now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Cheryl, and explain where you got that one.
We had just walked down the death tunnel, which is it's a 500-foot incline and pitch black. So we had just walked down there, and it was like taking us forever to get down, and we're laughing and joking, you know. But we're not being loud. We're being very respectful. And then we finally get to the top, and it's like, I think going down was harder than going up. A lot of people say going up is harder, but we paced ourselves. So we finally got to the top, but then we were kind of out of breath. And so we're kind of congratulating each other, you know, that we made it. I guess we're getting a little bit loud. And I still had my recorder going, and, and I guess the spirit didn't appreciate us getting loud, and he yelled at us.
Jesus, you guys be quiet.
He did. You do, yeah, it was,
do you want to give us?
Like I'm going.
Do you want to give us a little bit of history on Waverly? Where is that, and what was that?
It's in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a tuberculosis sanitarium. It's very, very beautiful place, but it's very haunted. But it's very sad. As soon as you get out of the car to go there, you can feel the sadness there. There's just really nothing happy about that place at all.
No, there were a lot of deaths associated with Waverly.
And there's lots of children there too. You don't always associate children with a place. There's lots of children at Waverly. Lots of them.
Well, that's not, you know, that's to be expected. I'm sure that.
What did you say, Ryan?
How big is Waverly?
Oh, it's like five stories. It's humongous.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yes. It's very, very big.
Now, do you know if this was built as a sanitarium, or was it built, or was that something that moved into there, or was that what its purpose was to house people with tuberculosis? Do you know?
Yes, it was actually built for that reason.
Wow.
They kind of built it. They built it out. It's out in the middle of all these beautiful trees around. So it's like out in the middle of nowhere. And so they put the people out there so they could get plenty of fresh air, because they thought fresh air was going to cure tuberculosis. So they have they have all the balconies and the rooms opened up, and they would wheel their beds out to the balcony so they could get fresh air in it. I mean, I've seen pictures of their beds being wheeled out there, and they're covered in snow. They would just wheel them outside all the time for fresh air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been there several times. It's an amazing place. It just keeps calling me back all the time, too.
Now, was it Waverly where the nurse committed suicide? Was that, am I thinking of the right place?
Yes, in room 502, yes. Yes.
Okay. What was the history behind that?
Well, she told me, she spoke to me, she told me that she was a nurse there, and she was in love with this doctor, except he was married. And then one day she found out she was going to have his baby, so she told him. And he couldn't have that. He couldn't divorce his wife, you know, for financial reasons, his wife. So he did an abortion on her. She didn't want it. He did an abortion on her.
Oh, wow.
And so she just was so upset that she killed herself.
Poor sweetheart. Yeah, she threw herself out a window or something, didn't she?
Yeah.
Did it have something to do with the window?
Nobody knows for sure what happened, but that's the story she told me. I don't know for sure. Yeah.
Poor sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next one I'm going to play really doesn't have
Don't go ahead, Ryan.
Is she still in that room?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I know somebody that got a picture of the woman standing in that room. I didn't get a picture of her. I talked to her, but I didn't get a picture of her.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one I'm going to play, it doesn't really have a title to it where you got it, so I'm just going to play it, and then maybe you'll recognize it. So we can go from there on this one. Let me guess, Ryan.
It sounds like the first word is she.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I can't tell if it's a man or a woman's voice.
It's a man. It was
okay.
it was at my friend's haunted farm. And I was out in the, we go out in the woods, there's lots of spirits that talk to us, and one of the spirits that always starts talking to us, his name is Emmett. And there's some other spirit out there that doesn't want Emmett to talk, so this just said, Emmett, shh, be quiet.
Poor Emmett.
I know, well, something bad happened out there, and Emmett's trying to tell us, but somebody doesn't want us to know, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, I wonder what it was. You know, sometimes spirits, you know, they don't want their stories told, and you know, for whatever reason, that sometimes they still carry guilt or resentment or you know, bad feelings about what they did.
There were many murders out there.
Oh wow! What associated with what? Do you know?
We think a mass murderer used to live there.
Oh. It's not Emmett,
yeah.
Is it?
No, I think Emmett's one of the victims.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're still investigating. We're trying to find out some facts about it, and Emmett's trying to tell us, and someone keeps telling him to shut up. And
yeah. Just keep encouraging him. Okay, he'll eventually break. All right, the next one I'm going to play is from... Yeah, poor guy. The next one I'm going to play is from the Silver Sides. Now, I've done this one myself, and it's an amazing ship. We got quite a few. Yeah, we got quite a few EVPs there ourselves. So I'm going to go ahead and play this one and see if our guinea pig Ryan can figure it
out. He all the time.
Play it again.
He all the time.
Can't make it out, but it sounds like it's either three syllables or three words.
Three words, yep.
What's he saying?
Say it one more time.
He does that all the time.
Definitely male.
Yeah, definitely male. I don't know.
Sure, you want to go ahead and explain this one a little bit?
I think they were talking to Mark when we were on the ship. I can't quite remember what he was doing. Now, which one is that? That I gave you a couple of those.
You should apologize.
Oh, you should apologize.
I'll play it one more time. I'll play it one more time. You should apologize.
Yeah. Because I got another one at the same time that says do it.
Yep, that's the next one I'm going to play.
You should apologize. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing Mark, he should have apologized.
He was just trying to heckle him. I think we're just kind of sitting there, and we didn't think anything was going on. And he's going, well, no, come on, you guys gonna talk to them or what? You know, it wasn't heckling them too bad, but you going to talk to them or what?
Uh-huh. He got an answer. And I'll go ahead and follow it up with the do it, saying that he wanted him to apologize, and he said,
yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not very nice about it either. Do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the silver side is what? That's docked in Muskegon, right? That was
right.
Caught in the submarine. World War II, wasn't it? Submarine, yeah. In World War II. And there's also another ship out there, I believe. Can't remember the name of that one.
I know, I went on that one, too.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything on the other ship at all. Did you get something on the other ship? I got nothing on.
Did you get anything inside the museum when you were there? Any experiences? Or?
A lot of experiences, yeah. But most of the EVPs were on the sub.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
What kind of experiences did you have while you were there?
Like, I could just feel that someone was around me, you know, so I kept putting the recorder, okay, what do you have to say to me? But they weren't, maybe they were yelling and we just couldn't hear them, I don't know. But I could feel,
yeah, there was
looking behind me like someone was there, you know.
Mm-hmm. We were told that there was a manager that had a heart attack up in the office upstairs. And,
yeah.
Yeah, we think that when we were there that we saw him peeking around a corner, so that was cool.
That could have been who it was.
But he's definitely,
because he kept looking. Someone's looking.
He's definitely still there. Yeah, he's definitely still upstairs. He peeks around corners, so he's definitely still there.
And when
the
we were on
that
the
we
sub,
have,
there was a dog on there. Did you hear the dog?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we were there that night. That the,
I didn't.
The dog
I didn't get
barked.
A recording, but I heard a dog. Yeah, I didn't get a recording. But I heard a dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I think SWPI has a dog recorded.
Yes, I think so.
Of him howling. And we got a cat
oh, wow.
Meowing, too, while we were there. Yeah. We also, I'm trying to think, we had a little session with a rum pod where we would ask questions, and it was lighting up pretty consistently. So it was definitely a intelligent interaction. Unfortunately,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, they're not doing investigations on the silver side anymore, so this will be it. These EVPs are it.
Yeah,
but go ahead
we're sitting at that little table there, and all of a sudden, you know, the steps coming down, the metal steps.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting
mm-hmm.
there, and we thought somebody was coming down the metal steps. It was really hard footsteps, and we looked, and there was no one there.
Yeah, we had that too. We had that experience. We had an apparition come down the steps. We could see the legs. White pants
yeah,
straight down
too.
The side
just
of the pants.
Just the legs. Just the legs.
Oh, did you?
No body, just legs.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Confirmation. Confirmation. Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah.
Just the legs.
Yeah, no
and
body,
then it disappeared.
Just the legs.
Yeah, because we thought someone was coming down the steps, and we're like, you know.
Yeah.
They actually thought I was coming down the steps, and then they wondered where I went because I just disappeared. But yeah, there was
yeah,
just
well,
the, like from the knee
go.
Down. Yeah, exactly. That he must do that often. I think it might be the captain actually.
Oh,
is that what they call them on submarines, captain?
I think so.
No.
Yeah. What are those women doing down there?
yeah, coming down to check. The next one, couple I'm going to play here are from the Whitney. And what I'm going to do is just go ahead and play it, the first one, and then we'll go ahead and play the second one, and then we'll talk about the Whitney a little bit, because that's right here, local. And that was on an episode of Ghost Hunters recently, so this one's kind of cool.
Yes.
Ooh. He sounds angry.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's kind of ghostly sounding, you know, like it's like he was trying to be spooky. And then we have one more from the Whitney, and then we'll go ahead and talk about these two. Ooh, that's clear as day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any guesses on those two, guinea pig?
No. The first one I had a hard time hearing. The second one, there's something there, but I just can't make it out.
Okay. Sure, why don't you go ahead and tell us what they're saying, and then we'll kind of get a little bit of history on the Whitney.
The first one, these are actually in the carriage house behind the Whitney. It wasn't inside that building. It was in the carriage house in the back. And the first one was somebody yelling, "Go!" And the second one was somebody saying, "Somebody's coming."
Yeah, the second one was
two different people. Two different people.
Yeah, one was, it sounded, the first one sounds like somebody purposely trying to sound like a ghost. And the second one is definitely female, and she sounds like she's sort of panicked, like she might be reliving something that possibly maybe a servant or something, and they're in the hallway and they're not supposed to be. And go ahead and give us a little background on the Whitney, because that's a really cool location.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it. It was someone's house at one time, and like I said, they had the carriage house in the back, and there's also another building that I guess was a morgue. I haven't been inside that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful place, just very old, beautiful wood, stained glass windows, chandeliers. It's a gorgeous place.
Now, they're using it as a B&B now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you get a lot of activity from the third floor, the bar?
I did not get anything inside that building. I was only there one time, but I didn't get anything in the building. But the carriage house, I got lots of things.
Like we
went into the first room, and there was a little bench over in the corner. And as soon as I got there, somebody says, "Well, you feel anything in here?" And I says, "Well, just that woman that's sitting on the bench over there." And someone I was with says, "Well, I'm gonna go over and sit on the bench next to her." And as soon as she said that, the woman on the bench said, "I really want to touch her."
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah.
Remember that one? Yeah.
Yeah. That was at the Whitney? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that a spirit wants to touch us. See, we're always trying to touch them. See, they're doing the same thing to us.
Well, I think they're just as curious about the living as we are about them. I mean,
right.
they left all this
like
behind.
What do we look like to them, you know? Yeah. And
right.
What do I always ask them, what do we look like to you? You look see-through to me. Do we look that way to you? You know, I want to touch them. That was very interesting. I thought, I want to touch her. I've never had one say that. That was very interesting.
Yeah, there was obviously more than one spirit there because they were communicating back and forth.
Oh, there were lots of spirits in there, yes.
All in the carriage
Who
house.
They
I wonder
were,
if they were
I
in the carriage
know,
house because you were there. Or, you know, if it was maybe the servants. It could have been staff.
I think it was like a servant's place, actually. Wouldn't you think so? The carriage
house? Oh, yeah,
house
the carriage house, probably. Yeah.
Where
because,
all
you know,
the workers
that,
would live and stuff. Yeah, where the workers would live.
Oh, yeah, because they weren't allowed in the main house. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's
where they usually wear
coming,
the...
You know.
Oh, yeah. The boss is coming. You know, why to get caught standing around.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. Yeah.
Now, Sherry, you don't use the standard recorders. You use something a little bit different. You use a reel-to-reel for some of that, don't you? An old, just a clicky tape. Actually,
yep,
on tape.
Old tape. I use tape. Yep, that's what I use, tape.
And do you think that possibly that works better? And as an investigator, do you feel that works better than the digital, or what's your feeling on that?
Well, I've been told that the tape also will make like a white noise that will help attract the spirits, where your digital recorder doesn't do that.
Hmm.
And
okay.
When I was at Post Town, we went down by the railroad tracks to see if we could get any recordings, and I had my tape, and I'm standing right next to the other person. She had digital, and she had her video camera. She got no EVPs, not one.
Hmm.
And I got about 10 of them on my recorder, and I'm standing right next to her. So I think there's something.
That's amazing.
You know, that really proves it right there when you're standing right next to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I know that we all know who John Tenney is, and I was mm-hmm. talking to John one night, and he had gone to a graveyard, and he had set up a, you know, one of those old-fashioned tape recorders with the big buttons, you know, across the front, and he'd push the button and left.
I still have one of those, too.
Do you? Yeah, he had pushed the button and walked away.
Yeah.
It might not be a bad idea. But he had pushed the button and left for a while, and he came back, and the button wasn't pushed anymore. You know, all the buttons were up, and he did an EVP of someone saying, nope, and they just, nope. And he said, yeah. And he said, I'm pretty sure I had the button pushed, but yeah, he said it was one of his favorite EVPs. So I was like, you're not doing this, nope.
Oh my gosh! Well,
so,
I
know you.
Old Mill one time.
Yeah. Mhm. Oh, go ahead.
When I was at the Old Mill one time, we're sitting by the banquet room at the little table in the corner, and I had my spirit box going, and
mm-hmm.
I turned it on and it stopped. And I go, what the heck? So I turned it on again. It stopped again. You know, so somebody was turning my spirit box off. And then I said, all right. I says, and I had the recorder going, and I says, all right. I says, who keeps turning off my equipment? Are you a wise guy? And a little girl said, excuse me? I think she was just being curious about what I had, or maybe the static was hurting her ears. I don't know.
Aww. Yeah, we don't know, you know, what they feel, or if they feel pain, or
well,
you know, how they react
ears.
To stimulus.
Well, yeah, that hurts our ears.
Well,
yeah.
Sweetheart.
So I think they
yeah,
turn equipment off. You know, they turn our cameras off all the time.
Oh, and drain batteries and push buttons. And
yeah, they do it. Yeah, why they do it, I don't know. Just messing with us.
I think with the influx of paranormal research now, they're starting to know that they can mess with the equipment. I mean,
oh yeah,
especially like a place like Waverly that's getting, you know, quite a few investigations. They're probably familiar with some of the equipment,
mm-hmm.
EVP recorders, you know, REM pods, you know, all the equipment. And I think they're getting better at interacting, or figuring out that they don't want to interact with it.
Because that happened to me when I was at Fort Wayne. I don't remember what I put down on the floor. I think I put the geophone on the floor and the K2, and I said, well, I'm putting this down here. I go, you've probably seen this equipment before and know how to use it. And I had a spirit say, yes, I do. So yes, I guess they do learn how to use our equipment.
Well, when the three of us were at that residential
yeah.
house,
yeah.
Cheryl and I, was it upstairs or in the basement where you can hear clear as day how many spirits are in a woman's voice? Says six. And I thought, when we
yeah.
listened back, I thought it was Cheryl. It was that clear. She's like, that's not me. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that house
was frightening. I remember we were sitting upstairs. Yeah, we were sitting upstairs. Cheryl, Steph, Tara, and I, and there was just the children that were up there. Very sad. I don't have any EVPs from that because, you know, we haven't got clearance on those yet, but. What one of the mediums with Cheryl, that we had another medium, Jody, with us, and the children in that house, as far as we could tell, had been abused by the grandmother pretty severely.
Right.
It was sad. I mean, we do have some EVPs from there. Like I said, we don't have clearance from the homeowner to share those, unfortunately. But at the end of that night, Cheryl, do you want to go a little bit and go ahead and talk a little bit about what you did for those little, that little, I think it was two little boys and a little girl, wasn't it?
Yeah, we tried to, like, someone was holding them there. Someone was keeping them captive there. And so we tried to get them away and help them move on to the life. Because they didn't know any better. They're just little kids.
Yeah,
and they just kept talking.
I remember when we first got there, the little boys didn't even know how to talk. I mean,
right.
I think that's why they were so quiet. I don't think they got to talk much. That's, you know, Jody was explaining that she was getting, you know, the feeling that they were told they had to be quiet. And you know,
right.
They weren't allowed to go downstairs. And,
especially,
you know, there was that little room there.
The little girl could talk. Yeah, the little girl could talk, but that little boy was told to get in the corner, you know.
Yeah, he was,
mostly
I think,
him,
like,
yeah.
Like you. Yeah, it was like you felt that they were kept in that little crawl space under the steps there.
Right.
In the attic space. But I'm pretty sure we moved those little ones on.
Did you ever see on your camera where that hand down the basement pushed the camera over?
Yeah.
Did you ever find
that
in your video?
Again. We did.
Yeah, we did.
I
was standing there watching the camera, and I saw a hand push the camera, and I thought for sure one of you guys adjusted the camera, and there was no one downstairs. That was scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brian, was that the guy that was talking to you down there? Wasn't there a gentleman down there talking to you guys?
Yeah, for a little bit, a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then we used those rods that I can't remember the name for, and the little boy was giving us yes and no answers. Yes, those.
The dowsing rods, yes.
Yeah, because the little boy liked using that.
Yes. Kids like that.
Oh, the little boy was downstairs with you?
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
I know.
So the house was definitely one of the most...
Yeah.
The house was definitely one of the most haunted places I've ever been. The whole night
was
disturbing.
So disturbing, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
There was nothing
still trying to figure out who
it,
the. No, it was a horrible. The family had a really difficult time. You know, I can't get into a lot of detail about some of the more private aspects of that case, but traumatizing. The spirits in that house. You know, I've never really met spirits that were that traumatized. I mean, usually they're okay,
mm-hmm.
but these spirits were just traumatized. The children were traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I know that when you came in, you got the two girls upstairs, and we thought, thinking along the lines of Incubus, and then you went ahead and explained differently, if you want to go ahead and tell that little story about who those mm-hmm. girls were upstairs.
Well, I think they were two hookers. I'm not sure where they came from.
Yeah.
Never met hooker spirits before, but yeah, they were.
Yeah, there was some inappropriate touching going on, for sure.
And
but,
I actually have that. I have that slur picture where someone's sitting on the bed up there.
Right. And the homeowner actually had pictures. So you saw those, right, where
right.
they have manifested.
Right.
Yeah, it was like a woman's legs and a pair of panties. And it was,
uh-huh.
and then there was another picture with a pair of lips. There was also another picture that we got that was an actual angel that I still have that was amazing. I mean, you could see her wings and... When the first time I was there, I told, you know, I said the angels needed to come protect, you know, the family. And the next day she got this picture of an angel. It's amazing. But we're going to hopefully get those. It was beautiful. We're hopefully going to get those permission to get those EVPs up pretty soon because we have some pretty good ones. Sure. What would you say is your favorite? Yeah, you got a bunch. What would you say your favorite location has been to date?
Oh, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. Isn't that crazy, a cemetery?
What did you get in the cemeteries?
It's just an old cemetery up by Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very small. It's actually in the middle of the forest preserve. It was Malathion Highway used to come through there, the old highway, and then they cut that road off and they turned it a different way now. So now it's just like a little, not even a two-lane road going through that. It's all falling apart. But it's just a sad cemetery there. There's a little pond. People used to, actually on Sundays, they used to come there with the family and have picnics. Back in the old days, that's what they did. You went to the cemetery to visit your relatives. They had picnics. They'd go fishing there. And I didn't know at the time, until after I was telling someone, I was walking down the road behind the cemetery, and I saw this white farmhouse. And I go, there's not supposed to be any houses here.
Hmm.
I'm going closer, and there's like a light in the window. And I see a little swing on the porch and everything. And I told my sister, hey, come here. Look what I see. And she goes, what? And I turned around, and it was gone.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that there was something called the vanishing farmhouse. Sometimes it's on the left side of the road. Sometimes it's on the right side of the road. There's no house there. And
wow.
The next time I walked a little farther down the road where I saw the house, there's a stream
uh-huh.
going through there. There's no way there's a house there.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And we were by the side of the fence the first time we were there, and I saw, like, a lantern in the woods. It wasn't the sun. The sun was behind me. It looked like a lantern shape. And it's in the middle of the afternoon. And I said, who the heck's holding a lantern in the middle of the afternoon? And so I don't know what it is. So we turned around and start walking away, and we heard a man go, hey, get back here. And we thought for sure there was somebody standing there. Because that's probably who was holding
you
the
heard this
in there.
With your ears?
With our ears. We turned around. We thought there was a man standing there because we saw the light. No one there. So then next time I went back there, I went right back to the fence. I says, well, remember last time I was here and you said, hey, get back here? I said, well, I am. I said, so can you come out and show yourself? And he goes, no. I got an EVP, and I'm saying, no.
No.
I don't know what he wanted. He said, come back here. I did. And he's going to show himself. I don't know. I'm confused. But
he's
there was
shy.
they used to have dances there, too. They would put a dance floor out there, and people would come for dances. A lot of people don't know that. I got a photo of that someplace. And so, last time I was there, I said, you got to know the history of a place when you go somewhere so you can help you speak to the spirits, you know. And so
right.
I says, well, it's a pretty nice day. I go, is there going to be a dance tonight? And a woman answered me, and she goes, we'll be dancing. Yeah, I'm going, whoa.
Awesome.
And then another woman said, oops, I almost fell off my chair. Now, how would you hear that in a cemetery?
Wow.
How would you hear that in a cemetery? I'm going,
wow.
Whoa.
That's amazing. And where is
and
this?
And recently, it's in Malathion, Illinois.
Okay. Wow.
It's a Chicago suburb, yeah. Bachelor's Grove.
Oh, Bachelor's Grove. Okay. I have heard
yeah.
of that. Okay.
Yeah. Ghost Adventures went there one time. And they saw the light up in the woods, too. But I
did
saw
they?
It in the daytime.
Wow.
Yeah, but I saw it in the daytime. There should be no light out there in the daytime. They didn't see the house, but I saw the
house. I'm definitely going to have to get there. Do you have any other places that you really had a good experience at?
I do like Waverly Hills. I like Waverly Hills a lot.
Yeah.
It just calls me back. I don't know why. Every
time
you go there,
unresolved.
Yeah. Every
I think
time
there's
you
a lot of
unresolved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so many people died there. I mean, have you done any asylums?
Just the one in Willis.
Besides the one here?
Nothing else. No.
Just the Willis?
No.
Okay.
No, I would like to do some more. Those would be interesting, too. No. I'm not done anymore.
I definitely want to do. Yeah, I want to do a couple of prisons, too, I think.
The only prison I've been to is OSR. That's pretty nice, too. I've been there like 7 times.
Oh, wow. And what is that?
Ohio State Infirmary. Mansfield, Ohio.
Oh, I was supposed to go there, and I didn't get it. I'm not going to get the opportunity. But did you get to get an EVP
there? I've been like 7 times. Oh, yeah. I've been there like 7 times. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Last
so what are your plans
just...
for the rest of the year? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I said last time we went to Bobby Mackey's, and on the way home we stopped over at Mansfield.
Ugh.
We're like doing a day tour. You know, we're just walking through, and we're snapping pictures. And up on one of the top levels, you had to zoom in on the picture. There's a man standing up there, and. I mean, that area is blocked off. We were not allowed to walk up there. And it looked like he had a big, heavy winter jacket on. So heavy spirit standing, like one of the guards, just standing there. And I'm going, holy cow.
Yeah, I definitely want to
acknowledge
you there soon.
So actually, I probably get most of my best EVPs and photos. I get it during the daytime. You don't have to go places in the dark. People think you always have to go in the dark. And I get so much stuff in the daylight. They don't have any
I don't know if you heard
time. They don't, you know.
No. I don't know if you heard Ryan, but he wanted to know if the spirit acknowledged you, the guard. Did he seem to be aware of you, or was it more like a residual type of thing?
I couldn't tell because we were on one end of that cell block and he was on the other side. It was really hard to see him. I don't know.
Okay.
You didn't see him turn towards you or?
I'd have to zoom in and check. I have to crop the picture and really see. I don't know. He was looking down. I don't know if he was looking at us.
Do you have anything else, Ryan? Or?
What do you think? Where do you get like the most clear EVPs? Like from a certain area of a building, or is it at a certain location where they're more clear than not?
Not really. I just think that the clarity depends on the spirit, and that's something that I always wondered is. Is one farther away, and that's why we can't hear them very well. You know, this one, you know, like, are they in, like, different dimensions? One's closer to us, so we get a better EVP. That's, I always ask this question to them. Where are you? How, you know, are you standing in a dimension next to me? Can you come and go from this place? They haven't answered me yet, but I keep asking those questions. Because, why is one just stronger than the other? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they're not allowed to answer.
That's what I mean. I mean, there's no recipe to say, okay, I'm going to do this and you get better EVP. I don't know.
It's not an exact science for sure.
No.
Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about where you're going to be this year and what you're going to be doing. Are you doing any events where people can come see you, talk to you?
Let's see. In the end of April, I'll be over at Motor City Nightmares for the weekend. In July, I'll be in Louisville, Kentucky for the Mid-South Convention. And October, I'll be at the Chicago Ghost Con.
Now, the one in Kentucky, is that Scarefest? Is that the...
No, it's not Scarefest.
Or is that a different one? That's a different one?
This is just... Mid-South is just strictly paranormal.
Oh, awesome.
Scarefest
is more.
Yeah.
Okay. Scarefest is
mixture.
More. Okay. All right.
It's probably,
I haven't been there.
It's
I think it's paranormal and horror. Mid-South is just paranormal.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. And why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your book. Keith Ames. Oh, okay.
My first book is Whispers Beyond the Grave, and that's the book that I wrote about my experiences at different places I've been to. And I'm writing a second book now because I went to a lot of places last year, and I promised the spirits I would tell their stories. So I'm having a second book. I might call it When the Dead Come Alive, but I'm not sure. But I do have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cover. My friend David Lowry, he has a photography company called Paraportraits, and he goes to haunted locations, actually goes to haunted locations and does your portraits. So the portrait I have was done at Ashmore Estates.
Oh,
so
wow,
it's not
I can't
just
wait
some
to
fake
see it.
Background. It's not just some
right,
fake
it's actually...
background. It was in Ashmore Estates, and they put makeup on me, and I look like I'm a dead person. I really
That's funny. And where can people get your book?
He did that. He did my portrait right before we were all leaving, and I said we were going to be driving back to my sister's house, and she goes, "We're going to wash your face off, aren't you?" I said, "No." You're not gonna walk. You're gonna drive down the highway like that, are you? I go, of course I am.
You little harlot. and where can people buy your book, Cheryl? Can they get that online, or is that just a?
It's on Amazon.com.
Okay, Amazon.com. All right. Well, we want to thank you for being on the Paranormal Fringe tonight. You've been a wonderful guest. We had a ball talking to you, and we'll have to have you back again.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. We have a great evening, Cheryl. That was Cheryl Lynn Carter, EVP Specialist, and we'll definitely have her back again. She's got a ton more EVPs. We ran out of time to play anymore, but we will definitely have her back on.
Excellent.
And Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about our upcoming shows.
Upcoming shows. I know we're going to have one that's going to feature some EVPs from my old house and the story of spirits that were there and are now in my new house, so they followed me over. And we're going to have a team, a whole class paranormal team call-in show. And I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I don't know what other ones are coming up.
We're going to be doing UFOs pretty soon. And we're also going to be doing some UFOs, and we're also going to do, I think we're going to do Slender Man in a couple weeks, so that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Slender Man is an interesting story.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be an interesting show you don't want to miss, because we're going to talk about a murder case associated with the Slender Man myth. And we're going to wrap up for this evening. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in, listening to Cheryl and Ryan and I, and we'll see you here next week on the Paranormal Fringe.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, goofball.